I'm delighted to welcome Bráinne McKeever, member, Northern Ireland representative on the Social Security Advisory Committee. Thank you, Bráinne.
Thank you.
I feel like a new kid on the block. I'm conscious that the two panel members remaining did their 9 years each on the Social Security Advisory Committee. I'm only just in the door in relative terms, so I'll give it a go, but I'm sure there'll be expertise that we can draw on from the panel as well. As Ursula said, I'm the Northern Ireland member of the Social Security Advisory Committee, which is a non-departmental public body which has been created to give advice to the Secretary of State and to the Department for Social Development on social security issues. It's a committee of about 12 people, I think, with a chair, and there are specific roles for different people on the committee, and my role is to take the Northern Ireland interest. And I'll just give you kind of a brief outline of the work that we do and try and understand how that work can impact on what's happening in Northern Ireland. Our main role is to give advice, as I've said, to the Secretary of State and to the Department, either at the request of ministers or under our own initiative. And the main way that we do that is to scrutinise the Social Security proposals that come forward, having been torn to shreds, presumably by the Treasury, as Les has indicated, in the form of draft regulations. And those draft regulations will form the bulk of the work that we do. And the majority of the committee's time is spent reviewing these draft regulations, taking evidence from departmental officials on what the policy intent is, on how this policy intent fits with the policy intent of other regulations, of other social security provisions, and trying to ensure that there is no collateral damage, no unintended or unforeseen consequences that are coming through. We have a similar role in relation to the scrutiny of regulations in Northern Ireland. And we have a memorandum of understanding with HMRC in relation to regulations relating to tax credit. That's rather a different relationship, which I'll not go into in too much detail, but we'll see a change to that relationship, of course, as tax credits are phased out. The statutory remit that we have is that regulations that come after 6 months of the Primary Act having been passed are required to come to us, which means that there's a six-month, if I wanted to be really cynical, which of course I don't, but if I did, there's a six-month window in which the department can get regulations through without scrutiny by the Social Security Advisory Committee. Having said that, we have good working relationships with officials in DWP and DSD, and we do emphasise our role as a critical friend to the department, so we will always encourage the department to bring regulations forward for scrutiny to the committee, even where they're not statutorily required to do so. And we did see, I think certainly under Les's time, you would have seen regulations coming forward on PIP that would be within that six-month period in order to get a sense from the committee on how these might work out. That's the bulk of what we'll do. And I'll speak a little bit about some of the regulations that we looked at in relation to Northern Ireland. The other statutory remit that we have is to carry out research under our independent work programme. And that allows us to, under our own initiative, to carry out research to support the work that we do, to provide an evidence base to inform our ability to scrutinise regulations, to understand what's going on, to take evidence in particular from our stakeholders in the advice sector, to shine a spotlight on what the issues are coming forward that you are seeing on the ground, so that we understand that what the officials are saying, this is how it will work in practice, isn't necessarily the same as how this is working in practice. So being able to understand that, to add value to the topics of debate that are of interest currently to the government or indeed to broader ranges of stakeholders, and to try and stimulate some debate on the topic in hand. And I'll talk a little bit at the end, if we have time, about some of the work that we're doing there. In terms of the scrutiny of regulations, we are not a democratically elected body that is designed to ride roughshod over the Tory policy. So I have to put that out there in case the expectations are that we can change direction entirely. We are limited in our role and what we can do there. But nonetheless, what we can do is give consideration to what the regulations are providing and look at that in the context of what else is happening in the social security system and encourage departmental officials who, for, you know, perhaps understandable reasons, are looking at this very singular set of regulations in a very singular way and are not taking account of evidence that's coming from other regulations about impact. So, for example, we've seen a lot of regulations come forward recently where the mitigation measure is to suggest that people who are losing out income because of people in work who are losing out on income from Social Security assistance will be able to make up that loss by doing 3 or 4 extra hours a week. And a couple of months ago, we had a set of regulations, a series of regulations that came to us, and each one suggested that. So that by the end of the day, claimants were required to do 9 to 12 extra hours of work a week in order to mitigate the impact of all of the sets of regulations. So it's about drawing the attention of the department to this kind of stopgap measure of being able to say an extra 3 or 4 hours a week and you'll be fine. So it's been able to kind of give that scrutiny. In terms of Northern Ireland, we gave consideration yesterday. There was a meeting yesterday, so I'll draw on it because it's obviously fresh in my mind. That deal with some of the things that, as Les has said, that we're already taking a hit on. So we looked at regulations yesterday, looking at the freezing of local housing allowance under housing benefit provision. That was an announcement that was made in the summer budget. It came to us very quickly. It came to us on the 9th of December with a request that we could turn it around without a full committee by the 16th of December. It just wasn't possible to do that. The department invoked urgency on the regulations. It's not very often that it does that, but that's a provision that allows the department to bring the regulations forward without scrutiny by the Social Security Advisory Committee. So there was a bit of an element of the horse having bolted yesterday when we scrutinised the proposal. But nonetheless, what we are able to do is to be able to take evidence from stakeholders at short notice to try and identify what issues we want the department to consider going forward. So we couldn't stop the regulations. We couldn't consult on the regulations because they're now in play. But nonetheless, we were able to say to the department, we have recommendations to make around this going forward in terms of how you collect data on the impact, on how we consider the impact of housing benefit changes across the piece. So on that particular set of regulations, for example, on that very short timescale, I had the advantage of being able to contact Housing Rights to be able to say, look, this is a private rented sector issue. It's very specific, but nonetheless, you'll have an insight into what's happening. I was able to get fantastic advice from the Housing Rights Service on what they saw as potential issues, to raise those with the department, and then to put that into a broader recommendation that we're seeing lots and lots of little changes that are happening in housing benefit. And like all of the cumulative impact that we're seeing in welfare reform, we're not really understanding how the whole piece is working together. Alison's summary this morning, I think, gave a fantastic example of how this is all working together in relation to child poverty. But the government has been very resistant to the Social Security Advisory Committee's calls to look cumulatively at the impact that's happening. But what we can see now is a potential opportunity to look cumulatively at the impact on housing benefits. It's a much more discrete area, and so the methodological objections to the cumulative assessment are not as strong, and so there's a possibility that we, taking evidence from our stakeholder community, that we can make that recommendation, even where regulations are already going forward, that we use that as an opportunity to say it's time now to stop and take stock of how this is all playing together. So there are lots of Northern Ireland regulations that do come to us, and we're hopeful that some of the regulations flowing from the welfare reform legislation will come to us as well. We will be emphasising that that's our role, and that we will be constructive in our feedback to the department if we can get hold of those proposals. But there are other regulations that we will consider that will have impacts in Northern Ireland that might not appear on their face to be something that will be of concern to Northern Ireland. And so again, from yesterday's meeting, and again looking at housing benefit, there was a set of regulations that have come to the committee, came to the committee yesterday, that relate to the reduction in housing benefit terms of the length of time where a person can be temporarily absent from their home. So under current regs, you can be temporarily absent from your home for 13 weeks in general. That proposal is now to reduce that to 4 weeks to 4 weeks absence before you start to lose your housing benefit. GB regs, with a line in the explanatory memorandum that says, well, we're talking to our Northern Ireland officials and we're talking to the department there, and we anticipate that they will bring forward replicable legislation. So there's already a little warning sign for us that whatever happens in the GB regs will probably happen in Northern Ireland if the Department for Social Development walk down that well-trodden parity path. So if we can't get it right in the GB regs, then we have much less opportunity to get it right in the Northern Ireland regs. And two particular issues arise. One is that there is a change in the GB regs from movement within the UK to movement within GB, which instantly means that movement between Northern Ireland and GB is going to be impacted. And if Northern Ireland replicates those regs to just Northern Ireland, then again we're going to have potential impacts there. And if we have within Northern Ireland a more limited time for housing benefit claimants to be absent from their home, that may affect cross-border working, which is a particular issue for Northern Ireland that doesn't impact the GB regs. So we've now taken those regulations under formal referral. We'll be consulting over the next 4 to 6 weeks with our stakeholders. Primarily, the stakeholders will be in Britain because the regulations relate primarily to, relate exclusively to housing benefit in Britain, but we will be looking to get evidence from Northern Ireland. And again, Ursula has mentioned the stakeholder visit that we're conducting in a couple of weeks' time. I got the dates wrong. I thought it was the 8th and 9th, but I'm sure you're right and I'm completely wrong. So I would encourage you to take part in those stakeholder discussions with us to try and again spotlight the issues that we need to be concerned with, that we need to look at. And that will help us inform the other part of our work, which is our independent work programme. And this, at the moment, we're looking at, there are lots of issues that we can consider. There's so much going on in the social security system that we're spoiled for choice. So there has to be a decision on what we can reasonably achieve and what we can do within a very small budget that we've got. So at the moment, our project is looking at mandatory reconsideration, which is coming down the track for Northern Ireland now. And for those of you who don't know, mandatory reconsideration is the process by which an independent a claimant who wishes to challenge the decision of the decision maker in the department will now have to go through an independent review of that, an internal review of that process before they can appeal that decision to an independent appeal tribunal. That process already exists. We know that claimants can voluntarily go through that process, but that is now going to be a mandatory process. On the face of it and on paper, it could be considered to be a good thing. It's maybe Les's idea of the kernel of a good idea. If you can get the department to make the right decision sooner rather than later, if you can avoid the need for individuals to go to an appeal tribunal, all of that is better. The trouble is that the process doesn't seem to be working as it should, and there's lots of evidence, and CPAG have been leading the way on lots of the evidence on mandatory reconsideration that shows that there are some significant problems with how it's working in practice. And we would need to be well-voiced, I think, about those concerns on the implementation in Northern Ireland. And again, this might look a little bit like it's their problem, they'll sort it out and then we'll see what the outcome is. But DSD also ran a voluntary version of this, a voluntary mandatory reconsideration scheme. That was a pilot, you know, a very sensible idea to pilot the measure in Northern Ireland to see how it would play out when we eventually get the legislation through. There may well be clients within your organisations who have gone through that process, in which case you may well have an insight to bring to the work of the IWP, the Independent Work Programme, on how mandatory reconsideration might work in Northern Ireland. We have a standards committee, which is not the same as the position in Britain, and so we have that advantage of scrutiny. But nonetheless, there are concerns about the process of mandatory reconsideration. The Department of Work and Pensions seems to be very, very sensitive about this, as indeed does the Department of Justice, the Ministry of Justice. So we're not quite sure what the picture is, and we're trying to find a way to explore that and to use our weight as a statutory committee to be able to do that in ways that other research organisations and other voluntary sector organisations have not been able to do, have not been able to gain access to understanding the system from the department's perspective. So there are other programmes or other projects that we are considering, and again, always prepared, always happy to take advice from you on what that might look like and to take your recommendations on what you think we could usefully focus on to try and make recommendations for change and improvement to the system. Again, Ursula has said that we have a stakeholder visit. We will be talking to our stakeholders, such as yourselves, but we will also be talking to the Minister, we'll be talking to DSD officials, we'll be talking to the Social Development Committee, we'll be encouraging them to see us in our role as critical friend, to make use of the expertise on the committee that can assist them, which relies so much on the work of the advice sector and the evidence that you bring to us, so that we can provide timely, expert and hopefully well-received advice, although of course the end note is that although we are statutorily enabled to give advice, the department is not statutorily required to take it. Thank you.
Thank you, Grant.